Hello, listeners. It's time for the official medical care podcast for the month of March. This is Sammy, MC Secretary-elect and podcast co-host, with your recap of the blog and preview of the March Journal articles. Our medical care blog has authors Cilicia Lomax and our very own co-editor Lisa Lines with a great read on synthetic opioids' role in the opioid epidemic. They write about how Congress convened to discuss regulatory policy regarding synthetic opioids and whether policy alone is enough to curb this public health crisis. Our authors suggest a three-pronged approach: partnering with the local health departments and community organizations, engaging providers and improving accessibility so patients with substance abuse feel comfortable to reach out, and going back to grassroots healthcare and addressing patient needs by meeting them where they are most familiar and most comfortable. Read more and share your thoughts on the medical care blog. We'd love to hear what you think. Next, we have a hot topic of vaccination choice, which has been on the forefront of popular media for a couple of years, largely in part to the COVID-19 pandemic. Author Walter Zellman of Cal State LA delves into how partisanship seems to be the primary driving force behind getting vaccinated or having mandates, when it largely should be a bipartisan issue based purely on public health safety measures amid a pandemic. Now, the MC Journal for March contains many interesting reads, so I urge our readers and listeners to check it out, but here's a quick preview of a few of them. Authors Brian Rivers and Desiree Rivers have a published editorial that outlines how cancer care has disparities among a rural health population that largely suffers from low accessibility to care, healthcare worker shortages, financial constraints, and go on to discuss a model that can help alleviate some of these issues and burdens. Here at Medical Care, accessibility to care and healthcare as a right is very close to our hearts, so this is a resonating read. Next, we have another great article on a pilot randomized controlled trial, which works with a method referred to as trauma-informed collaborative care, or TICC, that looks at trends in post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, in African-American populations. These populations are at a higher risk for PTSD. The study with a cohort of 42 patients found that TICC shows promise for addressing PTSD in this population, and the authors concluded that a larger sample size would provide more insight into this methodology and evaluation of its effectiveness. And last but not least, as the world moves toward a more tech-centric approach using big data and other means for analysis, healthcare has also jumped on this trend. In one of our articles, we have authors using natural language processing to determine patients' social determinants of health through electronic health records. Digitizing this data can help in a lot of public health and healthcare research to improve everyone's social determinants. Now I hand it over to our co-editor and co-host, Lisa Lines, for this month's podcast.
Thanks so much, Sammy. Hello, listeners. I'm Lisa Lines, co-editor of the Medical Care blog and co-host of this podcast for March 2022. One of the things we really want to do with this podcast is alert our listeners to the interesting and methodologically advanced research published in Medical Care every month. This month, I'd like to alert you to an article that was just published yesterday ahead of print. It's called Development and Structure of an Accurate Machine Learning Algorithm to Predict Inpatient Mortality and Hospice Outcomes in the Coronavirus Disease 2019 Era. The corresponding author is Stephen Chi from Washington University in St. Louis, and you can find a link to the article in the description of this podcast on our blog. As some of you may know, machine learning is beginning to be ubiquitous in the healthcare literature. It comes in lots of different flavors. In this study, the authors used an approach called long short-term memory, which is a kind of recurrent neural network. LSTM methods have been used in question-answering chatbots and machine translation efforts, and now the authors have applied them to predicting a composite outcome measure of in-hospital mortality, discharge to hospice, or death within 30 days of admission. Being able to accurately predict who's at highest risk of mortality is important in a number of settings. In my own research, I've developed a machine learning-derived index called the CIRCAPS Illness Burden Index to predict mortality in the 12 months after a CAPS survey based on a number of different self-reported and claims-based measures. So given that background, I was really interested in reviewing this paper. In the intro, they ground their work by talking about methods used to triage in hospitals, They mention and cite evidence around the sequential organ failure assessment score, which they say was later found to both systematically prioritize white patients over black patients, while also demonstrating lower discriminant accuracy than simply using patient age to predict mortality in ventilated COVID-19 patients. They go on to emphasize that methods used to predict mortality without racial bias are clearly needed. Chi and colleagues used data from a healthcare system in the Greater St. Louis area from April to November of 2020. They incorporated both EHR data, that's electronic health record data, and claims data to predict their composite outcome. They applied the model to individuals who were admitted as inpatients with at least a 24-hour stay, a total of 35,521 inpatients. The model inputs included an average of more than 500 inputs per patient, including demographics, diagnoses, procedures, inpatient medications, laboratory values, vital signs, substance abuse history, as well as COVID-19 status, race, and ICU admission. So out of their roughly 35,000 patients admitted during the seven-month period, 8% experienced the composite outcome measure, either in hospital mortality, discharge to hospice, or death within 30 days of admission. The outcome was much more common among those with COVID-19, 21% of whom experienced one of the outcomes, compared to 7% of those without COVID-19. So when you have a relatively rare outcome like this, the traditional model fit statistics can be misleading. The authors recognize this and they account for it by including precision recall curves, which, as they say, are not dependent on the number of true negative cases and may therefore be more informative for imbalanced data sets with a low expected outcome rate. So how did they do? Well, the LSTM approach yielded an area under the receiver operating characteristic curve of 0.89 overall, and a positive predictive value of 0.46. Using a 0.3 threshold corresponded to a sensitivity of 0.38, specificity of 0.97, and a positive predictive value of 0.54. Importantly, the subgroup analysis showed that the model performance was equivalent for Black patients compared to white patients. Risk prediction approaches like these are needed to help providers better refer patients to palliative and hospice care and avoid aggressive and burdensome care, invasive procedures and therapies in the final months of their lives, which may have limited benefit. I encourage those of you who are interested to read the full article for all the details. And thanks for listening. Join us next month for our next episode.